For if you could see in the realm of the Spirit those things that I see when you worship, you would understand that your worship is a weapon against the enemy. And there are many of my children who have suffered needlessly with depression when they could have worshipped and through their worship driven away the spirit of depression. For you see, when you worship me in spirit and in truth, you are worshiping me out of the very life that I have released in you when you accepted my Son Jesus. And the release of that life through worship does damage to the kingdom of the enemy. The release of that life attacks the death of depression. For you know that there are many who, out of depression, have committed suicide. You see, that is the ultimate goal of depression. It is a weapon that the enemy uses to try to kill people. And he does not care if they are my children or they are lost. But I say unto you, there is no reason for my children to experience depression. For I have given to you the weapon of worship. And through the use of that weapon, you can drive away the spirit of depression. For did I not say in my word that I have given you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Therefore, I say to you, those times when you begin to feel an oppression or a depression try to overshadow your life, try to blanket you and drag you down, if you will open your mouth, and if you will begin to worship me in spirit and in truth, worship me in the understanding and in the spirit, if you will begin to worship me this way, I am telling you, the depression will lift and you will drive it away. And it is through this worship, it is possible for you to get to the place to where you never struggle with depression again. For you are my child. Listen now. You are my child, and I, as your heavenly Father, do not approve of depression. And I have made the way for my children to walk in peace. For did my Son not say, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world gives. So therefore, as you worship me, the peace that is infused with my life, that born-again life, that I have given to you, worship will release that peace into your life and it will calm your emotions. So remember this and remember to utilize worship as a powerful tool in your spiritual arsenal as you live day by day. And if you do this, I say as your Father, you will live above depression. Open up first to Mark chapter 4. There's something that the Lord impressed upon me here at the beginning of the service tonight. It really, even before we began to praise and worship, that I need to pass along to you. And in Mark chapter 4, we're just going to look at, we'll look at two verses. In verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. And in verse 15, it tells us these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now the reason we're opening with this tonight is because the Lord wanted me to pass along to you that when this week is over, Satan is going to try to steal the word that has been sown. You say, well, Brother Martin, that's a terrible thing to prophesy. Well, don't blame me. Jesus prophesied it first. He was giving us this warning that when the word goes forth, Satan wants to do everything he can to nullify the word that's gone forth. So, you know, we can sit in services like this and just, you know, praise God, hallelujah, wonderful teaching, wonderful worship, and boy, God did a great thing, thank you, Jesus, and so forth. Well, next week, the week after that, sooner or later, something's going to happen. I guarantee you, something's going to happen to try to draw you away from what God has done this week. And, you know, Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Well, That's what it is. It's a fight to maintain the path that you're on when it comes to fulfilling what God has called you to fulfill. And I want to pass this along to you and warn you ahead of time that Satan's going to try to, you know, upend your cart, if you will. He's going to try to derail you. And typically, he does this in a way that's subtle, to where you don't make an association between what has happened in your life and what happened last week during the services or 2 weeks ago during the services. He tries so hard to disguise what he is doing so that you don't catch on. And maybe some of you can relate to this, but, you know, months, maybe even a year or two later, all of a sudden your eyes open and you realize that what happened way back when was a very veiled attack of the enemy to stop me from making the progress that I was making during that week of those services. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. And one of the things that you can do is ask God, through prayer, ask God to help you be more sensitive to every attack of the enemy that would try to steal the word that's been sown into your life. Because trust me, God does not want this to happen to you. Okay. Well, with that in mind, and with for those of you that are listening to this, these services are not taking place in a church. They're taking place in a rented facility. Last night, we had an orchestra that was practicing in the room next to ours. And I'm sure that you, if you've heard the service from last night, you heard the orchestra playing. And every now and then, it actually helped the sermon. Well, tonight, I think it's the Australian Welsh Men's Chorus is practicing in the room next to us. Now, they sound really, really good. So if you hear singing in the background, it is not angels serenading my sermons. Just want to let you know about that. For those of you who are listening, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go ahead and kind of continue on. We've been talking about faith this week. And like I've shared, there are so many sermons on faith. But one of the things I discovered over the years is that most all of the messages or the teachings that I've heard on faith didn't go far enough to help me understand exactly how to live by faith. And essentially, what we heard, or and maybe this wasn't your experience, but mine, was that, well, living by faith, you know, just trust God. Well, hallelujah, I'm trusting God. Well, what does that mean? How do I trust God? Well, you just have to believe His Word. Well, I believe His Word. And it seems, when you think back on it, for me, it almost seems empty. It almost sounds, and the preachers were trying their best to help me out, but it almost sounds, as I review it over the years and look back on it, it's almost like it was like a pep rally where, you know, they're there, you know, come on, you can do it, you know, trust God and so forth. And yes, I can trust God and I will successfully believe Him and I'm going to live by faith. Well, then the years go by and I'm not getting the kind of results that they said I would get if I trusted God. Well, I think I'm trusting God. I think I'm believing God. I think I'm living by faith. So where are the results? Well, Jesus, He had a situation with the disciples where they were trying to cast the devil out of this man's son, and they couldn't do it. And, they got alone with Jesus, and they said, Lord, Jesus, you know, you walked up and you cast the devil out of this man's son. We were trying to do that, and we don't understand why we couldn't. Now, what's interesting is the very question, why couldn't we do it? And I want you to think about that question. That question was based upon the assumption that they could do it. You see what I mean? Like, I'm not going to ask somebody why I can't jump on top of this building, you know, just jump from the ground up, because I'm not going to assume I can do that. But they assumed they could. Well, why is that? Well, if you go back and study Scripture, you'll find out that Jesus had sent them out two by two. And He also sent, you know, others out, 70 two by two, and then the disciples two by two. And they had cast devils out. So now in this situation, they're trying to figure, okay, well, what's going on here, Jesus? You know, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus says, well, the answer is very simple. Because of your unbelief. Or, better put, because of your lack of faith. And see, we've been led to believe that we're all faith giants. And maybe not you guys. I mean, I really don't know what you've heard over the years. But it's like if you hear enough faith sermons, then it's like, okay, I'm a faith giant. I believe God. I trust God. His Word has to be true and so on and so forth. And I, yes, amen, it's right. And so therefore, I expect to get the faith results. I don't get the faith results. And I scratch my head and I go, what's going on here? Now, here's what's happened. A lot of Christians over the years have gone through exactly what I've described, and they've thrown up their hands and they've said, this stuff does not work. And then they walk away from what God's been trying to do in their lives. Well, now, here's the thing. It does work. It does work. Because if it didn't work, God would be a liar. Because in the Word of God, it does work. I mean, Jesus says, believe, don't doubt, speak to the mountain leaves. He said that. Now, it's one of two things. He's either the greatest liar of all times, or I'm missing something. Now, I know he's not a liar. Therefore, the problem lies with me. Well, who wants to stand up and say, I've got a problem? Well, you don't want to do that. But something's going on. Because Jesus even went on and said, look, if your faith was what it's supposed to be, as a grain of mustard seed, then, you know what? Nothing would be impossible to you. Nothing. Now, that's been mistaught. But what Jesus was saying is that nothing relative to the will of the Father will be impossible to you. Not nothing as in I can, you know, leap buildings in a single bound and all this other. No, not that. I can confess in, you know, fancy Cadillacs and all this. No, not that. Well, I can speak to billions of dollars and it's... No, not that. Only those things relative to the will of the Father. He says, nothing shall be impossible to you. So therefore, if I have that grain as the faith is the grain of mustard seed, and that mustard seed grain faith was put in me the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because when I put my faith in Him, He gave me a born-again life, or a born-again spirit, or you could say it like this, a new nature. You know, before I had the lost person's sin nature. Well, I accept Jesus Christ, and His blood has cleansed me and purged me of that old man or that old nature, and now all things have become new. I have a new nature. I have the life of God, something I never had before. Well, along with that, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about this, how that Jesus has authored that faith in us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So therefore, the faith that I need to live by is the faith that has been given to me by Jesus. And we talked about the fact of all those people in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the Faith Hall of Fame and so forth, and we look to those guys and we talk about, boy, if I could be like them. And God says, but you don't want to be like them. Yes, look what they did. What they accomplished by faith. And God says, but you don't want to be like them. And we say, well, God, why don't I want to be like them? He says, because none of them were born again. He says, you need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Those guys never had that Jesus faith. You know what I'm saying? They never had that born-again faith. They never had faith associated with that new nature because they weren't born again. And so I don't want to be like them. I want to be like Hebrews 12, Jesus, the author of my faith. So that's the faith I've got to live by. If I try to live by Hebrews 11, I will not accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. But if I try to live by Hebrews 12, 2, Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, if I try to live by that faith, then I will begin to accomplish what God has called me to do. And that right there is a huge difference. So therefore, if I'm supposed to be living by that faith, that born-again faith, that new nature faith, then I need to find out, how do I do this? Well, you know, faith is a grain of mustard seed. And I shared with you last night how that in the States, a lot of people will go to the Christian bookstores and they'll buy like these little necklaces. And the necklace will have like a little pendant on it. And that pendant is like this clear acrylic. And on the inside of it, there's this a real, genuine, little, tiny mustard seed. You know, well, there's my faith. You know, mustard seed faith. Hello. Now I can move a mountain. Well, Jesus didn't say if you have faith as small as a grain as mustard seed. He said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Matthew 17. Well, the reason he said that was because he had already taught about the mustard seed in Matthew 13. He said the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. The fellow sowed it into the ground and it began to grow, and eventually it grew so big that it overshadowed everything else that was around it. And Jesus was saying, if your faith is like that grain of mustard seed, then what's going to happen is it's going to grow to the point it's going to be bigger than every mountain around you that's standing between you and the fulfillment of the will of God, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So it's not about little bitty tiny faith. It's about what the symbolism. If you have it as a grain of mustard seed, it's going to grow. So therefore, I need to focus in on this whole aspect of my faith growing, because if I don't do that, If I walk around with this little bitty mustard seed and I think that's going to win the victory, come on. No. This faith I'm supposed to live by is totally associated with my born-again spirit. That spiritual life that God has given to me. It's not based on anything else. So I need to find out how I can cause this faith to grow, how I can cause it to develop. And since this has come from God, this faith has come from God by virtue of Jesus offering it in me, then what that means is the only way this faith is going to grow and develop, the only way, is according to God's standard in His Word. That's it. There is no other way. So therefore, I have the responsibility. I mean, if I even care about this, if I even care about going through this growing process, which it is a growing process, the mustard seed, it takes time for it to grow and become larger than anything else around it. Likewise, my faith, it takes time for it to grow. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But if I even care about this, if I even want to live this kind of victorious life for Christ, then what I have to do is get into the Word of God and start finding out what God has said about the development of my faith. You know, fooey with me as a preacher, I want to know what God has to say. Because I could stand up here and tell you wrong things. I could stand up here and say, well, let me tell you something. A year ago, I was in the hospital and they had to operate, cut me open and drain fluid, which this is true. This weird virus attacked my body, and as a result, in 1 week's time, over 20 ounces of fluid built up in the sac around my heart. And anyway, they had to, you know, but what I could say is this. Yes, I was in the hospital, and yes, they had to do this. But I'm telling you, as a result of all of that, my faith is now at the mountaintop level. I've learned to trust God more than ever because of that experience. No. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that... Now, I'm paraphrasing John 6:63. He said, it's the Spirit that causes, brings, develops life in you. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. That means everything associated with the flesh, works, personal efforts, my own accomplishments and so forth, my own experiences and circumstances, none of that profits my faith. None of that edifies my faith. None of that builds my faith. None of it. Because if that's all it took, then every one of us who have been through a lousy circumstance in life, why, our faith would be growing all the time. We'd be looking for problems, would we not? Because our faith is going to grow if I have more problems in life. That doesn't even make sense. No. It is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Word that gives life. It is everything related to my life that I received from God when I accepted Jesus Christ. And everything related to the flesh. Negative events, positive events, doesn't matter. None of those things causes my faith to grow and develop. Oh, but Brother Martin, you're wrong. Because when I was in the hospital, I'll tell you what, I learned to trust God. Yeah, but you could have learned to trust God before you went in the hospital. See what I mean? You could have learned to trust God before the car accident. You could have learned to trust God before you lost your job. Why did you wait? The answer's been in the Word the whole time. Why did you wait? Well, the truth is, I got desperate. Ah, I see. So before, it didn't really matter because everything was going your way, you thought. Then suddenly you realize things weren't what you thought. So I've got to do what is necessary for me to grow, and I've got to do it according to God's standard, what He has revealed in His Word. Stated differently, I've got to get into the Word of God and find out what He has said about how my faith that was authored in me by Jesus Christ will grow and develop so that I can fulfill everything that God has called me to fulfill. And unless I'm sharing from the Word of God, unless I'm meditating from the Word of God, unless I'm applying from the Word of God, my faith isn't going to grow and it's not going to develop. Now this, quite frankly, that right there should, how can I say this? That right there should help you, just what we've covered so far, help you understand why a lot of the sermons you've heard about faith, you should have never heard. How about what did we know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just trust everybody that comes along. We just listen to what they say. It's like, well, praise God, they're the preacher. They must be right. No, no. And anyway, there are warnings in Scripture about those who preach heresy and wrong doctrine and so forth. But anyway, living by faith literally means living by God's Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, I've got a responsibility to live by God's Word when it comes to doing something to cause my faith to develop. I mean, when Jesus says these signs will follow, and then they believe, you know, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils and all that, that's everybody. That's all of us in this room. That's all of us. When Jesus said, hey, listen, if you believe the works I do, you'll do also. And a lot of people want to talk about, yeah, and greater works than these shall you. It's like, well, man, forget about greater. Let's get to the first half of that verse, all right? You know what I'm saying, okay? And if he's, and see, when you think about that, it's our minds have such a hard time comprehending how can I mean, if I don't take a shower, I will stink. You know, me, normal human being, me. You know, 8 to 5, punch the time clock, me. Do the works of Jesus. How can I do that? You know what? You're trying to reason in your mind a divine decree, and your mind will not be able to reason it out. This is why we're talking about faith. Faith says, I have no idea, God, how you do all this. But the bottom line is, you have said to me through your Son, Jesus Christ, if I believe, I can do the works of Jesus. Therefore, God, even though every sermon I've heard my whole life, every church I've attended my whole life, all my Christian friends, nobody believes this, and everybody criticizes me for thinking about believing that, I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to believe it. And I sure need a lot of help because I feel like I'm encircled by nothing but doubt and unbelief coming from all sides. And we get hammered with this. And Jesus said, hey, look, you know what? Do you ever think about this? Jesus never had anybody he could go to and talk with. I know he spoke to the Father, but I'm talking here on earth. Nobody was born again while Jesus was here. Nobody. I mean, he couldn't go to anybody and sit down and say, let's talk about the Holy Ghost. He couldn't do that. He was, you talk about alone. You talk about being surrounded by doubt and unbelief. And yet, we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if I look unto Him, I see Him living by the faith I'm supposed to be living by here on earth. He trusted the Father in everything. I can trust the Father in everything. He did only what the Father told Him to do. Well, that can be me too. And on it goes. Now, we know that in Romans it talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, if I'm going to live by faith, it means living by the Word of God. It means living by the life of God. It means living by the light of God. You know, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple, and so forth. Living by faith means living by God's standard, regardless of what the world or religion tells me. And I'm telling you guys, that last one there is so important, that regardless of what religion tells me, because there are so many Christians who have been brought up to believe things that do not exist in the Bible. And they will fight to the death to defend their right to believe heresy. And it's not in there. Well, if I'm going to live by the Word of God, I have to be willing to allow everything I believed to be shattered at my feet if I'm going to live by faith. Otherwise, I'm not living by faith. I'm living by fleshly doctrine. I'm living by religion. I'm living by all these other things. And I'm not going to be able to fulfill what God's called me to do. So therefore, if I'm going to live by faith, I have to accept the standard that God has given to me. Look in John chapter 17. And Jesus, He makes a statement here.
He says, Thy word in John chapter 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. So therefore, if I'm going to be sanctified, or if I'm going to have this experience with faith, my mustard seed growing, if you will, then I have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that God's word is truth. That means even if I see something in there that my pastor told me is not for today, I have to be willing to accept that it's truth. God's word is truth. And God, listen, guys, when you stand before God on the day of judgment, the standard of judgment is going to be His word. Jesus even said as much. He said, you have one that judges you, the word. And I'm not going to be judged by what my pastor said. None of you are going to be judged here by what I've said tonight. None of you. Or this whole week. Judgment's going to be based on the standard of God's word. And Jesus says, your word is truth. Therefore, as hard as it may be for me, I absolutely must be willing to let the word, as a sharp, two-edged sword, cut away all of the stuff in me that is wrong belief relative to the Word of God, so that truth can begin to cause my faith to grow and develop. Now look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is very important, what we're going to see right here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, why is that? So, verse 17 can become a reality in my life. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what this is saying? In part, what it is saying is this. If I eliminate anything about Scripture by saying it's not for today, it died out with the apostles, well, we don't believe it that way, and so on and so forth. If I eliminate any Scripture, then what I am doing is I am making it impossible for me to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That phrase, all good works, literally means all things that are the will of God, or all works of God. So if I'm eliminating Scripture from my life, then faith can't come, that's for sure, because if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and I say part of the Word of God doesn't apply to me today because it died out when the last apostle died or changed here and did this and whatever, then what I'm literally doing is making it impossible for my mustard seed to grow so that nothing will be impossible to me. I'm actually the one that's stopping my spiritual growth, not the devil. Me. Because I'm choosing to eliminate Scripture from my life. And he says right here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what's interesting is that that phrase, inspiration of God, literally means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit. So, all Scripture has been given to us by the divinely breathing forth of God's Holy Spirit. Now, we know Scripture is the Word. So all the Word has been given to us by the divine breathing forth of God's Holy Spirit. So what we're seeing right here then is a direct connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now this is very critical. Because if there is a direct connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and I already know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God that I'm hearing is connected to the Holy Spirit, that has to mean the Holy Spirit plays some kind of a role in my faith development. It has to mean that. There's no other way to get around that. It has to mean that the Holy Spirit plays a role. Okay, well, if that's true, which obviously it is, because it's the Word of God, I'm not making this up, it's right there in front of you. If that's true, then it behooves me to find out how the Holy Spirit does this. If I not only need the Word, hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but I also need some kind of something going on here with the Holy Spirit, I better find out what it is. Because it plays a direct connection with my mustard seed growing to the point that nothing is impossible for me. Nothing. Now, look over in John chapter 14. And let's take a look at some of these things relative to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Now, what are the things that you need to understand about Jesus when He was teaching? And if you have a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red, then you could say this, the things that are recorded in red in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Except for the times when Jesus was confronting the Pharisees over their hypocrisy, when He was teaching, when Jesus was just teaching and not calling the Pharisees hypocrites and whatever, out of His teaching, it was prophetic. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says that Jesus made this statement. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Which means that He was in the process of fulfilling the law of Moses right in front of the people. Well, once something is fulfilled, it is no longer required. In other words, once the requirements have been met, there's no need to continue meeting it. You understand what I mean? I mean, once you drove here to this place tonight, you stopped your car and got out, right? There was no need to keep driving. It's your trip here has been fulfilled. Well, it also says that even from the beginning of His ministry, it's recorded in Mark, that Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of God. You say, okay, well, what's the significance of that? He was preaching something that none of those people could enter into. You say, well, what do you mean they couldn't enter into it? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Therefore, getting into the kingdom is based on me accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And Jesus even said as much in John chapter 3. If you're not born again, I'm paraphrasing, if you're not born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. Well, hallelujah, I want to be born again, Jesus. How do I do that? You have to wait until I go to the cross and die for your sins and am raised again on the third day. Then you can become born again. So in other words, as Jesus is going about teaching about the kingdom of God, what He is doing is, I'll say it like this, laying a foundation for the teaching of the kingdom. And He's revealing kingdom principles to them that would be relative to them once they have entered into the kingdom. And they could not enter into the kingdom until Jesus had completed His work and they could put their faith in Him to be born again. So when He says here in John chapter 14, but the Comforter... Well, I'll tell you what, if you look back up in verse 16, John 14 verse 16, Jesus says, I'll pray the Father, He'll give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. He's speaking future tense. In other words, He's saying the Holy Ghost is going to come once I've completed my work here on earth and the Father is going to send Him. And if you jump down to verse 26, He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, now this is a prophetic statement. It's about the kingdom. He's saying this is what will happen, not what is happening. It's what will happen. Well, He says that the Holy Spirit will teach me all things. Okay, I appreciate that. How's He going to do that? He says, well, let me give you a hint. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or the divinely breathing forth by God's Holy Spirit. That phrase, divinely breathing forth, literally means like speaking, dictation, and so forth. And so Jesus is saying, look, the Holy Ghost, He's going to teach you all things. So if the Holy Ghost is going to teach me all things, and the Holy Ghost is the third person of God, and God's Word is truth, then that must mean that the Holy Ghost is only going to teach me those things which are directly connected to the Word of God and which are truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit will never teach anything outside the parameters of the Word of God, which is the very Word He gave by inspiration. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, with that in mind, Jesus is telling me, and this is just, I mean, this is so simple. The Holy Ghost, the Father's going to send Him, and when He gets there, one of His intentions, one of His desires is to teach you all things. Okay? Now let's think for a moment. How many of you have ever gone to school? That's a yes answer, because we've all gone to school. Did you learn anything if you never went to class? No.
You had to go to class and sit in the presence of the teacher, right? A simple illustration. Now, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things. Therefore, if I am not with the Holy Spirit, He cannot teach me. You understand what I mean? Well, Brother Martin, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay. But how many times were you living in the same house with your parents and didn't pay attention to a thing they said? How many times did you sit in class and go to sleep in school? Didn't hear a word the teacher said. You understand what I mean? Just because you go to school, you're in the classroom, so there's a relationship of sorts with that teacher in that classroom. Just because that relationship exists does not mean that you're listening to anything. You can zone out completely, not hear a word that's said, and flunk every test. And Jesus is saying, look, the Holy Spirit, He wants to teach you. But that doesn't mean you're going to be taught. In other words, you have to submit to the teaching. If you don't submit to the teaching, then how can He teach you? How can He give you that which is truth? What have we learned about truth? Thy Word is truth. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is giving me truth, that truth has to be connected with the development of my faith. Well, look over in John chapter 16. Jesus goes on and says basically as much. In John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, if He's guiding me into all truth, what's He guiding me into? The full understanding of the Word of God. And what happens when that takes place? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Are you seeing this connection? So He says, look, when the Holy Spirit has come, the Spirit of truth, He'll guide you into all truth. Now look here. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And when you think about what He's saying right here, He says the Holy Spirit is only going to speak to you what He hears. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I don't speak of Myself, I only speak that which the Father tells Me to speak. So if the Holy Spirit is only giving to me or speaking to me that which He hears, who's He hearing it from? I guarantee you, He's not hearing it from my pastor. He's hearing it from the Father. You understand what I mean? Therefore, the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me are the things that the Father has told Him to speak to me. And what did Jesus say? Father, Thy Word is truth. Therefore, the Father is giving His Word, which is truth, to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit turns around and gives that truth or that Word to me. What happens? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. See this? Now let's look at another place. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 11, Jesus said, or Paul writes, but I certify, or I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, those things that I spoke, preached, taught, gave unto you, is not after man. I didn't receive this by going to, you know, Christian University in Jerusalem. He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, but, now look here, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's already born again, so this revelation that he's talking about can't be the revelation of salvation. He's talking about, verse 11, that which I preach to you. So what he is saying is, folks, when I stand up and I preach to you, all these things that I teach you, you need to understand, I did not sit and let man fill my mind with all of what man thinks, all of man's opinions, all the denominational thoughts and processes and so on and so forth. He says, no, I didn't do that. He said, that which I have delivered unto you, I received it by revelation or by teaching from Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And He said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but He will only speak that which He hears. So, it wasn't that Jesus Christ
necessarily physically manifested in front of Paul and sat down and taught him. You understand what I'm saying? But what he's saying is, I received a revelation from Jesus. Well, who gives us a revelation from Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit. So he's telling us right here that, and I know later on in another place it talks about Paul was caught up to the third heaven and so forth. But what he's telling us is that, look, I received teaching from Jesus. So now if he received teaching from Jesus, and Jesus has already told us ahead of time that this teaching is going to come, at least in part, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then I need to find out more about this teaching process that comes from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's given me the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. All right? Look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want you to see this process that he reveals here, that he shares. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In other words, I didn't come with a college degree to try and impress you. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So what's he doing right here? He is trying to point them to Jesus Christ. He's saying, number one, I didn't come here to impress you or anybody else because of who I am. I didn't come here with an expensive college education to teach you what the seminary gave me. He said, I came here by direction of God to pass on to you what God Himself has passed on to me. And in verse 6, he says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world," or the religious way of thinking, "or of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Now stop right there. How can you speak the wisdom of God unless you have received the wisdom of God? See this? That means something has happened to cause him to come to the place of understanding the mystery of the wisdom of God. Well, he says, "Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world," or before the world was created, before Genesis chapter 1, "God ordained before the world unto our glory." Or in other words, he said, look, this wisdom has been a mystery hidden from mankind since the foundation of the world. But God had intended for mankind to have this wisdom all along. It was His intention for this wisdom to be passed on to us for our glory, or for our benefit, or for our profit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Remember that? And so he says, look, it was God's plan for this information, this teaching, to be given unto us. Verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Sadly, most people stop right there. Well, you see there, Brother Martin, God has ordained that we shall not have this information. Because it says right here, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it has not entered into the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love Him. However, verse 10 says, "but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit," or the life, "that born-again life, which is of God." Well, why did He give us that? Well, not just so you're... Now, listen to this. This is, to me, a powerful revelation. Not just so your sins could be washed away, and not just so you could get to heaven. Look what He says here. Here is another reason why God has made it possible for us to receive the born-again Spirit. Look here. "So that," verse 12, "we might know the things that are freely given to us of God."
In other words, you can't know these things until you're born again. And you can't get born again until you put your faith in Jesus. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come to give you this information, to pass the understanding, the teaching on to you. And He says, look, now that I have this born-again Spirit, guess what? I can come to the place of knowing, comprehending, fully understanding all of these things that God has freely given to us. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Now look here. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Or in other words, but in the words given to us by the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You say, well, what's that talking about? Comparing the spiritual things of God with our born-again spirit. Or in other words, to say it a little bit differently, comparing all of these things that have been a mystery, all of these things that God had ordained for us ahead of time, all of these things that God has wanted us to have, and it's all related to who we are in Christ. All of these things that are connected to God, who is a spirit, as Jesus taught, and our born-again spirit. In other words, He's saying that God wants us to understand, by virtue of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who we are in Christ. He wants us to come to the place of understanding what this new nature is that we have. What does it mean to be born again? What is salvation? What are the things that have been freely given to us? How is it possible to believe that I can do the works of Jesus? And the Holy Spirit says, hold on. I know how you can do the works of Jesus. And if you'll give me the time, I'll get you to the place to where you will understand that mystery. Because as long as you rely on your mental comprehension, it's going to remain a mystery to you. But if you will take the words of man and cast them aside and spend time with my words that I will give unto you, I will be able to impart to your spirit the important information that you need to do the works that God has called you to do. Now look at this. He says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, for one thing, we know for a fact, I mean, you just got through talking about if you have that born-again life, then you have the potential to understand these things. So if you're lost, there's no way you can come to this understanding. But just because you're born again does not mean you will come to this understanding. It means you have the potential to come to this understanding. And the key factor revealed in this passage is the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the words that He gives us. You see this? All right, now let's take it another step further. Look over in Jude. Jude only has one chapter. So, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. All Scripture is given by inspiration, the divinely breathing forth of God's Holy Spirit. All the Word of God has been given by the divinely breathing forth of God's Holy Spirit and is profitable for doctrine, instruction, correction, so on and so forth. Or it leads to an increase, profit, increase, a building up, an edification. See what I'm saying? Now look here. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So the more that I'm praying in tongues, guess what's happening? I am profiting my spirit. I am building myself up on my most holy faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul writes about, not by the words of man's wisdom, but in the words that the Holy Ghost teacheth. He said, we've received this information. What that means is the more that I pray in the Spirit, the more I begin to see 1 Corinthians chapter 2 become fulfilled in my life. I come to the place of understanding these mysteries. Because God's already ordained for me to understand them. Now get a hold of this. If I rely only on my pastor, I'll never come to this understanding. Ever. I can't. Because my pastor's not the Holy Ghost. If I live my life on Christian television and I watch all of the preachers on television, None of this is ever going to happen. None of it. If you live your life on what I share with you this week, I can't change you. I can't do this. But I'm telling you, if you do what God says in here, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, if you do this, then what's going to happen? You will be edifying, building yourself up on your most holy faith. In other words, my mustard seed grain is going to start growing and developing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And eventually, this growth process is going to continue to the point that I will be able to start doing the works of Jesus Christ. It is a growing process. Look back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See, one thing I want to make sure you understand, along with everything else I've shared tonight, I was raised in church from a baby. We went to church every time the doors were open, and there were times Mom and Dad opened the doors. And I literally, because Mom and Dad helped out at the church, sometimes we were there first. Sometimes we went during the week and whatever, you know. Just, I'm trying to make a point here. I was raised in church, and I was told you must be born again. But I was also taught this tongue stuff, it's not for today. Tongues is of the devil and all that. I believed that for years. Believed it. And then I ended up in one of these churches that didn't believe that. And, you know, I'm there in this church service for the first time. Boy, oh boy, did I get a shock. I mean, I'm standing there, and I was raised in church, so I wasn't a Bible expert, but you know, they told me read your Bible, so I knew about the Bible, and I also knew about singing. In other words, you know, we used hymnals and all this, so they're singing these songs, and I'd never been in a church before where they used drums, you know, during praise and worship, but it's like, all right, that's not too bad, you know, it helps you stomp your foot on time or whatever, and clap, and people were doing this, you know, clapping to the beat. Never been in a church where they did that before, but it's like, well, okay, it's not too bad. But one thing I was doing is paying attention to the words on the screen. Now, I couldn't find fault with what they were doing, because some of the songs were almost word for word straight from Scripture. So how can I criticize this? I mean, we never did anything like this in our church, but I can't criticize. I mean, what? It's just different, but how can this be wrong? It's not out of order. The fast songs, and then, you know, kind of slowed down. They got into the real worship songs. And I've never been in a service like this before, so the whole thing's really new. And then everybody started kind of like we were doing at the end of the, you know, what I call free worship. You know, we're just, hallelujah, Jesus, I praise your name, I glorify you. Like they're doing that, and I've never been in anything like that. And I'm paying close attention, and it's like, you know, I can't really fault this. Because they're just saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. I love you. Lord, I glorify you. I mean, how can you fault that? It's still new to me. Well, then, you know, it starts to die down. You got real quiet. Then all of it, I mean, I could take you to that church and show you where I was standing when this happened. Got real quiet. Then over here, some guy, I mean, he just cussed loose with us. And I'm thinking, but I'll tell you what happened on the inside. Honestly, guys, there was a presence of God that hit me that I'd never experienced my entire life. And I was honestly afraid to move because I felt like, you know, God really, He's here somewhere. He's got to be. I mean, there's something going on. And on the inside, what I heard was, I am hearing the voice of God. Now, I knew it was a human speaking. You know what I'm saying? And then there was an interpretation that came, and to this day I don't remember what the interpretation was. Have no clue. All I remember is, oh boy, this is different. But that day I realized somebody has taught me something wrong over the years. Somebody doing the best they could as much as they understood, they passed along to me false doctrine. And it wasn't that I took an attitude toward those preachers and so forth of my past. I mean, they led me to Jesus Christ. But I realized, man, I have stepped into a whole new world. And so, you know, time went on, and eventually I came to the place of, you know, I want this. I mean,
My goodness, not only, you know, had I heard that tongues aren't for today and of the devil and all that, but healing's not for today. Well, this got shattered as well. I'm seeing healings take, I mean, I'm talking miracles taking place. And it's like, well, that's not supposed to happen. They told me that wasn't for today. And yet that lady just got healed. That man just got healed. Oh my goodness, how much more wrong have I believed all my life? And it got to the point to where it's like, okay, based on what I'm seeing, there appears to be a connection between this baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and all these things I'm seeing happen. So, you know what? I think I want this. So I went to the, we were having a revival, and I went to the guy, the evangelist, and I said, you know, got some questions, ask him a few questions. He answered my questions, and that night at the altar call, I went forward, he laid hands on me, got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Haven't looked back since. Now, the reason I shared all that with you, made it short and sweet, is to try to help you understand. I was not raised, as some people say, I was raised in Pentecost. I wasn't raised in Pentecost. I wasn't raised in Spirit-filled. I wasn't raised in full gospel. I wasn't raised in charismatic. I wasn't raised in any of that. I was raised in you must be born again. And it was a shock to my spiritual system for some of these things. But one of the things that I did do, I remember this distinctly. I sat down at the dining room table one day. And I said, God, I'm going to take everything that I have heard about all of this, tongues and so forth, and I'm going to put it over here on the shelf. And I'm going to start reading from Matthew through to Revelation. Because, you know, you don't read about people speaking in tongues in the Old Testament. Okay? I mean, it didn't happen back then. It happened here. So, it's relative to the New Testament. I'm going to start with Matthew, read all the way to Revelation. I want you to show me what you really said. And so, I mean, Matthew chapter 1, you know, chapter 2, Mark, you know, Acts, Ephesians. I mean, just one chapter up, one, just all the way through. And as I'm reading through, it's like, oh man, they always told me that verse meant the other. It doesn't mean that. It can't mean that. They taught this verse wrong. They taught that verse wrong. They taught this chapter wrong. And this chapter, they didn't even teach. They left things out. It's like, man, oh man. A kid just walked into the candy store and they said, take anything you want. It was like, wow. I have just walked into a whole new room that is full of God, and it looks like there's no end to this room. So what I'm sharing with you tonight about this whole thing, you know, praying in tongues and this relationship that our faith in the Holy Spirit has, man, I've been where a lot of people are to not believe this. And it has been a growth process for me. Well, he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, look, in verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. What did we just read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Well, you can't speak what you don't know. Therefore, if I've come to the place of understanding the wisdom of God in a mystery, I had to have done something to come to the place of understanding that mystery. Well, he says right here, when you're praying in tongues, you're not talking to men. You are in direct communication with God Himself. I mean, think, you are in direct communication with the Creator of the universe. The person who's got so much power, He can create a universe. And I'm in direct communication with Him. Now, just me and Him. I don't know how He can talk to all of us at the same time, but He can. And so when I'm praying in tongues, and you're praying in tongues, and everybody else is praying in tongues, and somehow He understands it all. I don't get it, but it works. But He says, I'm speaking mysteries. Or in other words, I'm praying out these mysteries. What mysteries? The things I don't know. The things I don't understand. What things don't I understand? The things relative to who God is, who I am in God, His divine will for my life, and on it goes, and the things of God's Word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In verse 4, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, what did it say back over there in Jude? You pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up. You edify yourself. Put it differently. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue is experiencing spiritual profit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is
profitable. So when I'm praying in tongues, I am profitabling myself. You understand what I mean? I'm benefiting myself. And then he says down here in verse 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." And this is one of the reasons a lot of people don't pray in tongues. They say, "Well, I don't know what I'm saying." Well, of course you don't. God said you wouldn't right here. When I pray in tongues, it's my spirit. My spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." So if I were praying in a language that I understand, that would be more of a work of my own. You understand what I mean? But if I'm praying in tongues, and what happens is, my comprehension is completely removed out of the picture, out of the formula, and my spirit is rising above my comprehension, if you will, and in direct communication with God in a language that I do not understand with my mind, but in the realm of the Spirit, there is a connection that has been established between me and God, and through that connection, God is releasing unto me the comprehension and understanding of the mysteries of God, the mysteries of His Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, and growing to the place of being able to do everything God has called me to do, including the works of Jesus. And some people have said, "Well, yes, but that was for the Corinthian church. That wasn't for us today." Okay, smart guy, let's take a look at that. First off, in verse 18, Paul says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." If it's good enough for the Apostle Paul, then by golly, it's good enough for me. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, if Paul needed to pray in tongues, I need to pray in tongues. And then, look at this. He says, verse 21, "In the law, it is written." Now, he's making reference to a prophecy here. "With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear." And hear who? "Hear me, saith the Lord." So he says, "In the law, it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips." Oh, well, he's talking about bringing people in from the United States. At times, I feel like I'm speaking with other tongues. And you know, you see, like, we call it a parking garage. You call it a car park. But anyway, people have said, "Well, he's talking about bringing someone in who speaks a foreign language and you have to use an interpreter." That is not what he's talking about here. Because this is smack dab in the middle of a teaching about praying in tongues, about speaking in tongues, about tongues and interpretation and all these things. He can't be talking about bringing somebody in from another country. This is a teaching about tongues. "Well, yes, but it was only for the Corinthian church." I can prove it wasn't. How can you prove it wasn't? That is so easy. He says here in verse 21, "In the law." So therefore, somewhere in the law, I should be able to find something relative to this. Which, by the way, just happens to be in Isaiah chapter 28. So go ahead and turn over there. Isaiah chapter 28, and God is speaking in this. He's prophesying through Isaiah. In Isaiah 28, he says, just pick it up in verse 10. No, verse 9. "Whom shall he," God, "teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand" what? "Doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for" what? "Doctrine. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now look here. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." So as I'm praying in tongues, what's happening? God's speaking to me. Now, this is a prophecy in Isaiah, centuries before Paul ever came on the scene. And Paul in 1 Corinthians, Paul quotes from this. So therefore, if Paul's quotation from this in 1 Corinthians was only for the Corinthian church, you know what that means? That means this prophecy was only for the Corinthian church. That is impossible. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, correction, so that the man of God, not the Corinthians, the man of God, or the believer, may be used of God in the fulfillment of everything that God has called him to do. Everything. You say, "Okay, well, what does this mean to me then?" What it means is this. When I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is, I've opened like a channel, a conduit between, you know, God and me by praying in tongues.
And the Holy Spirit is the mediator of this conduit. So as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is taking information that He is receiving from the very throne of God Himself, and He is passing it along to me in my spirit. And what He is speaking is the Word of God. Now, there will never be any more Scripture written, ever. But He is still divinely breathing forth to us. And what He is divinely breathing forth to us, if we pray in tongues, is the comprehension of the mysteries, the understanding of what has been written, the clarification of those things which are confusing. I mean, on and on it goes. But also in the process, building me up on my most holy faith. Why is that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, but I don't feel anything. God didn't say you'd feel anything. He just said, you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, and what you're doing is you're enabling the Holy Spirit to fulfill this part of His role that I have given to Him for all of humanity. Remember, we talked earlier about you can go to class, you can sit in a classroom, but that doesn't mean that you're receiving anything. You can zone out, fall asleep, whatever. You went to school, but you just didn't get anything, didn't pay attention. Likewise, just because I'm born again does not mean the Holy Spirit can do this, because God has already said in His Word, and remember, we've said it has to be by God's standard. It can't be by man's standard. I have to do this God's way if I want this growth and spiritual maturity. I can't do it any other way. I can try, but it won't work. This is it. This is my only hope. This is it right here. And if God says, look, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, then the Holy Spirit is going to fulfill His role in your life, and you will be edified. You will grow. You'll be built up on your most holy faith. Oh, God, are you sure about this? God says, yeah, I can't lie. And I put it in my Word, and my Word is truth. Therefore, it can't not work. It will work if you do it. So now, what does that mean? It means the choice is up to me. Totally up to me. God has said, look, I've told you what you need to do right here in my Word. Here it is, right here. He says, now you can do it or not. Now if you do it, you'll get these results and your life will change. If you don't do it, you're still going to be my child. Well, you know, born again, you'll still be my child, you'll still go to heaven. My son said you must be born again. My son did not say you must pray in tongues. So if you're born again, you're still going to come up here and be with me for all eternity. But, you can never be a recipient of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is described, what we've seen tonight, unless you do what God has said in His Word. If I pray in tongues, I get the benefit. If I don't pray in tongues, it's not going to happen. Will God still love me? Sure, He'll still love me. Will I still grow like this? No. See, all the people that didn't come tonight, none of them heard this teaching. Could have. I'm talking the ones that could have been here tonight. Could have, but they didn't. Does that mean they're bad people? No. Does that mean that God doesn't love them? No, He loves them. Does that mean that bad things are going to happen in their life? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means they weren't here, they didn't hear it. So if they don't have this information, then they can't apply what they don't know. Remember I talked about, you know, preaching is nothing more than the transference of information, but it's the application of the information that produces the transformation. So therefore, you have to apply what's been taught or you're never going to change. And I'm just sure, see, I'm not the one that can give you tongues. That comes from God. And, you know, a lot of people, that was one of my questions, you know, way back when. Well, what is this? You know, praying in tongues, speaking this stuff. I mean, you know, talking to that preacher. And one of the things that God showed me, and this is, you know, how He helped me to understand it when I'm conveying it to other people, especially people that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's just so much goofiness out there about that. I can remember one time I was at a church preaching and, you know, okay, anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on up. And these two, like, they're like maybe 14, 15, 17-year-old, whatever, they came up. And I was going to pray for them. Well, it's like the whole congregation came up and surrounded them. And I'm trying to pray, and they're yelling, come on, speak it out, speak it out. Hold on, turn loose. And these kids were standing there scared out of their wits. They didn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, this ain't going to happen. They're intimidated by this. And one of the things the Lord showed me was that a lot of people are afraid of it because they don't understand it. And He said, if they understand it, then they'll be less afraid of it. Well, what happens is this. A lot of times they just say, well, you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on up. And so, okay, well, we pray for them like that. And then, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the people who are seriously seeking for this. I mean, you know, you're born again. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're serious about it, it will happen. And it's not some kind of weird mystical thing. Some people have been afraid to, you know, get filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues because they're afraid that, you know, they'll be walking through the grocery store. And all of a sudden, you know, I just wanted some kidney beans. And now all of a sudden, no, it doesn't work that way. And they're afraid that they're going to turn into some kind of robot. You know, it's just life's going along and all of a sudden, bing, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. The Holy Ghost won't force you to speak in tongues. And the Lord showed me, just help them understand this process. Help them understand that if they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not a complicated issue. It's like getting born again. When you got born again, what did you do? Jesus, you know, come into my life. You know what I'm saying? Sinner's prayer. When you got born again, you just got born again. And you weren't looking for goosebumps or the willy-nillies or weak knees or whatever it would be. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people say, well, when I get filled with the Holy Ghost, what's it going to feel like? I don't know what it's going to feel like. I don't know that you're going to feel anything. Some people feel things. Oh, I felt like electricity was... I felt like oil was... I felt it. Other people say, I didn't feel a thing. Man, I didn't feel anything. Nothing at all. It's not about what you feel. And you're no less of a Christian if you don't feel anything. And God said, you got to let them know it's not about feeling something. And he said, you also have to let them know that they're the ones that will speak. The Holy Spirit will give them the utterance, but they're the ones who will speak. Meaning, they have to use their own physical energy to move their lips and move their tongue and exhale breath through their vocal cords as they're moving their lips and their tongue to produce the sounds of praying in tongues. You understand what I mean? Because a lot of people, like when I pray for some folks, they just stand there like a bird waiting for mama to drop a worm. And, you know, just, you know, it's not going to happen. And I've had some people look at me and say, well, what am I supposed to say? No, this isn't a foreign language class, okay? I'm not teaching you what to say. And I try to explain it. It may sound like, you know, a baby talk. Or like if you were a kid when you were like maybe trying to pretend you were speaking in a foreign language. Or something. I mean, it's going to sound like gibberish. It'll sound. I'm trying to come up with an English word to describe what it's going to sound like. Your mind may be telling you, this isn't God. This isn't God. This is stupidity. This is not God. I said, but remember, you have asked for me to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And because that is what you're seeking, then that is what God is giving to you. And it doesn't have to sound like me when I'm praying in tongues, and it doesn't have to sound like anybody else when they're praying in tongues, because it's the Holy Ghost who is doing this in you and the other person and the other person. So whatever comes out, no matter how it sounds, it's the Holy Ghost who is doing this. But if you don't produce those sounds, you say, what do you mean produce those sounds? Well, you just kind of take a deep breath and is that right? Yeah, that's right. You just do that. Well, how do I know it'll be of God? Because that's what you've asked for. If you know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues. See what I mean? It came from God. So it's nothing to be intimidated about, but the intimidation comes as a result of religion over the years that has completely confused this issue. You know, when Paul showed up at Ephesus, he's talking to these guys, and he says, well, have you been filled with the Holy... have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Paul says, oy vey. So he teaches them a little bit. And then he lays hands on them and prays. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. And they start speaking in tongues. It was an expectation back then. Today,
It is not an expectation. Today, it's almost like a special event, like the hot fudge on top of the ice cream. You know what I'm saying? Something extra special. Well, back then, that's just how they feel. And you know, I've wondered about that before. In Ephesus, when Paul went and he's talking to these folks, he meets up with these believers. And I'm thinking, okay, what led him to ask that question? It could have been anything. So in my mind, in my imagination, I'm seeing them, you know, these fellas are together with Paul and they're praying about something. And, you know, Father, we want to thank you, sama sama, blah, blah, etc. and so forth. And then Paul starts calambreando, gushondo, rabaliatiriengiririanto. And then all of a sudden he realizes it has gotten very quiet in this prayer circle. And he'll kind of like, he's looking around and he realizes everybody else has stopped and they're looking at him. Like, what is he doing? And I can just see him, kalampara dumbo klasku. Tell me something, fellas. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? No, Paul, we did not know. He said, all right, well, let me tell you about this. And then they got filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like in Scripture, it's no big deal. We're the ones that have made it a big deal. We're the ones that have messed this thing up. It's not that hard. Brother Martin, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I accepted Jesus Christ. I prayed to accept Him to be born again, but I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Or, you know, I was at this one church and they prayed for me and they told me I got filled, but, you know, I've never, you know, spoken in tongues. And based on what you've shown me in the Word of God, you know, I think I need to get with this. And I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I do want to receive this prayer language of praying in tongues. I want it. So what do I need to do? Well, it's not that big of a deal, really. I will pray for you tonight, right now. I mean, maybe every one of you in here filled the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. That's okay. But I don't know that. So I'm saying this. And, you know, if that's you, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be nervous. Not at all. I'll just like Paul did in the Bible. I'll just pray for you. You say, well, okay, but now what? Tell me again what's going to happen. Okay, here's what's going to happen. You remember how you prayed to get born again? Dear Lord Jesus, you know, please save me, whatever. Okay, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer kind of like that, only it's a prayer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the end of that prayer, you'll repeat the prayer after me. And at the end of that prayer, I'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. And then you just say, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm just going to start praying in tongues. Now, when I pray in tongues, you just start praying in tongues with me. He said, okay, well, what do I say? We covered that a minute ago. You just start making those sounds. And I wish I could describe it in English better than what I am. But you just let it out. But what if it doesn't sound like you? It doesn't have to. Remember? I talked about that. It doesn't have to. Well, what if it's just like a few words that come out? And that's okay. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, the more you pray in tongues, He will expand your vocabulary of tongues. You say, oh boy, it just sounds so far out. That's because religion has made it sound far out. So I'd like everybody to stand, please. Now, if you're here tonight, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that you are born again. But you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you want to receive this gift of praying in tongues, if you'll just come up here right now, I'll pray for you. You say, you mean in front of everybody? Hey, trust me. There was a whole lot more people in that church that night I went forward than this here tonight. You know, hey, here's the thing you need to understand. All the other folks in here that filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, they're going to be praying for you. They're not going to be staring at you. They're going to be praying for you. Now, is there anybody at all? Anyone at all? You say, well, Brother Martin, I'm nervous, I'm scared. Okay. Then maybe you don't want to come up right now. You want to wait until I tell everybody it's okay to go home now. And you want to get me alone in a corner somewhere. Fine. That's okay with me. It really doesn't. There's no rule in the Bible that says you have to come forward. I'm just doing this now to make it easy for you while everybody else is in the mood to pray for you. You know what I'm saying? And I'll pray for you. You say, well, I'm just nervous about this. I just don't. Okay, let me tell you what you can do. You don't want me to pray for you because you're kind of embarrassed. You know, well, what if it don't work? It will work. Remember, faith, believe, receive. It will work. We had a lady at our church that raised like me. Tongues aren't for today. Well, through teaching, like all of this tonight, she came to the place of kind of like me. Man, I want this. You know. So one night after church, Sunday night,
She went out to eat with Kathy and me, and we had pizza. It was good. And we sat there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just question after question after question. Nothing critical. She just wanted to know. And so I'm answering all the questions. She says, well, okay, you know, I'm gonna go on home and I'm going to think about this and pray about this. Well, here's what happened. This was so cool. She went home, and she went to her bedroom, got down on her knees at her bed, said, okay, God, I want this. And I'm asking you now, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you know, come into my life, Jesus. You know, John said that you'd baptize us with the Holy Ghost in fire. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to baptize me with the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost, I receive you now. And I ask you to give me the gift of praying in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's like nothing happened. So she prayed that again. Nothing happened. And so she said, God, I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm tired, so I'm going to bed now. So she went to bed. And here's what happened. She had a dream that she got filled with the Holy Spirit and was speaking in tongues. And when she woke up the next morning, she was still speaking in tongues. Is that cool? And the reason I shared that story with you is to help you know that it's not a formula. You can go home, and we've had this happen. We've had inmates who are students at our Bible college that have heard me teach along this line, and they'll get right in their prison cell alone, and they'll just pray, you know, I want this. And just like the example I've given you here tonight, they've done it, got filled with the Holy Spirit, started praying in tongues. In one particular prison, it happened to one inmate. Then he shared with his inmate, his cell buddy, and then he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they had some other inmates come over and join them in a Bible study, and now all of them in this Bible study are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all pray in tongues together. All because, and see, it's not because I'm so smart. I'm just passing along to you what God showed me to pass along when it comes to how to be filled and so forth. It's not complicated. Now, I said all of that to let you know, if you're nervous about coming up here now, nervous about having me pray for you after we're finished here tonight, go home, get alone, and just follow this process that I've explained to you. And then after you say, you know, Holy Spirit, I receive this gift of praying in tongues from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just take your next breath and just start. Just start making those sounds. And the Holy Ghost works a miracle and turns it into a language that comes straight from God.